Grace and peace to you from God our Father.
And from Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, the focus for our sermon today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read some, look at some of the select verses. You can find that on pages 5 and 6 in your service folder. The story of David and Goliath, you might argue, is maybe one of the most famous stories in the world. It's a story that, yes, it's from the Bible, but if you're not a Christian, pretty much if you're any religion, if you're anyone, you know of David and Goliath. You know of this battle that was fought. But a good question is, what has the story been reduced down to? As we are going to look at this text today, it's going to be important to see that, you know, we see a large section. We're going to want to focus on the key parts of this, but also maybe we need to retune our minds to what this is all really about. What we're going to see is that the battle is the Lord's. But I wonder if we're so used to this story being about the underdog, right? Think of every sports analogy when, you know, March Madness is coming up and the 16 seed is playing the 1 seed, the David versus the Goliath, or just when someone is just so overmatched. This is all we think about now for David and Goliath. But there's so much more. There's so much more that we need to see for us and for our spiritual life than just that there's an underdog that can have strength and not be afraid of facing someone when they're overmatched. For us, we need to see this truth. That truth that we said, that the battle is the Lord's, and what does that mean for us in our life, now and into eternity? It's important as we look at this because when we see the setup, we want to ask, where should I be putting myself? Where should you be placing yourself? Often, if you think about the Sunday school stories you know, where you've learned it, you've most likely put yourself in the place of David, right? God's going to help you fight your battle. Okay. Today I want to put ourselves more in the place of just the Israelites. Those who are watching this unfold, seeing this giant come up, and seeing how King Saul reacts, and then how this young boy without any armor comes up. What are you thinking as this battle unfolds? Well, to begin with, what are the people thinking? We know very well what people are thinking as we're introduced to a giant. This man who describes his weapons and his armor as something that just is more than people could imagine. You can think of the biggest person you have ever seen, if it's, I don't know, Shaq, go back to Andre the Giant, who knows, but this was a large, large man. Not only was he large, but then all of who he was and his weapons were intimidating. And we know that, and he came with intimidating speech. He threatened them, and it says that he was a champion. When we look at this, it's important to know that the culture back then, it wasn't so much individualistic, but when a champion was fighting, it wasn't like a duel where, okay, one guy kills the other and then, okay, that's it. But Goliath kind of sets the stage, doesn't he? He says, choose a man and have him come down. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. He's mocking the Israelites and their God, and we see how people respond. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were afraid of what they were facing. The first thing that we need to remember and see is see how people react to those battles in their life and how David then reacts. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul and the Israelites were petrified, were afraid, and David says, "Don't be afraid." What's the encouragement for us? But don't be intimidated by the battle. There's so many things in life that just feel like they're too overwhelming. That there's no way out of this, or this is never going to be solved. And what happens then is we tend to go to the wrong things, don't we? We tend to get afraid, and if they become too overwhelming, we just don't know what to do. And what happens then is what Saul did and what the Israelites did. They go to worldly ways. Saul, the Israelites had wanted a king. And they said, "Give us a king like all the other nations. Give us what everyone else has. That will help us fight our battles." And what do we see? That even though Saul was, it says he was a foot taller than most of the Israelites, he was this strong man. He was afraid. He was fearful of going up. And who should have been the man to go to battle, to be the champion for the Israelites? King Saul. Not only was he their king, but he was one of their greatest warriors. One of the reasons they made him king. And so we see that people, the Israelites, had already gone to worldly ways and said, "God, we know that you're there, but we want a king." And what's happened? That worldly way has let them down. So as we don't want to be afraid or imitated by the battle, we see what it leads to, and we need to be reminded to throw these things off. What are those things? But to throw off both worldly ways and then trust in self. This is what Saul was doing, what the Israelites were doing. How can we do this? How can we overcome this? And I think that's the fear of when we put ourselves in the place of David in this. We begin to think, "I can do it. That I've got it." That, yes, the odds are pretty rough, but you know what? I've got the strength to do it. And we begin to trust in our ways, and we forget about something. It's what Saul and the Israelites had done, but notice David did not. "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." But how and why? Because he knew that the Lord had delivered him. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." We see as he goes to battle, then Saul is saying, "Use these things. Use my armor. This will help you. This will protect you." And as David goes to battle, what does he do? He throws off all of the things that Saul is suggesting. And so he's not only just rejecting that clothes, but in a way he's rejecting Saul and the way he leads. They haven't gone to God. They're not trusting in God. They're letting the Philistines make a fool of God. And so David says, he knows that the Lord will deliver them. He knows what will help. We see as he then goes to battle, he says these amazing words to the Philistines. You came against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Notice then he says in verse 47, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. The Lord does not fight in the way that the rest of the world fights. Do not be dismayed at the battles. Do not be overcome by the ways of this world or leaning on self, but trust in the Lord. Why is it important then to see that we are not David, but David represents someone else? David, in fact, as he's going to go and fight this battle, this is showing us that someone else is fighting that battle now for us, has fought it. Who is that? But the Lord. The Lord fights the battle for you. And what this really is picturing is David's son. David's son who came to defeat our greatest enemy. The greatest enemy of the devil, of sin, death, and hell. But the Lord has conquered it. That Jesus came in our place, as we heard in Hebrews 4. That we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we were, yet he did not sin. And we saw that in our gospel lesson. How he came to fight the devil, and he did not use earthly ways, but he used the scriptures. He used all the things that God had given him. He didn't trust in himself, but he trusted in his Father. And so he goes to battle for you and for me, and then he goes in a way that no one would have imagined. Again, imagine you are the Israelites and you see this young man go out to battle. Not Saul, not the one who's expected, and then not wearing any armor, but instead coming with a sling, and you're saying, how is this going to do anything? Isn't this the picture that we think of when we see the Lord? One who was mocked and did not look special, but went to the cross for you and for me. That in that suffering, he gives you the victory. We see that he fights the battle, but he gives you the victory. That it's been won. That when we are worried, when we are struggling, we see that it's already been done. The problem with seeing it any other way is that we so much start to make it about us. We start to worry that, you know, even if it's the old way of the Sunday school lesson that says, you know, you can fight all your enemies. You can do it. God will give you the strength. Are you going to win every one of those battles? God is going to help you with the most important battle because he's won it, but maybe we lose heart when we don't overcome this great odds because, well, did God promise me I was going to win that battle? There's some battles we do not overcome because God didn't promise we were going to overcome that personal battle, that personal thing. Or even if we say it's more about, just like David, you need to have faith and then you'll overcome your battle. It's not about fighting, but just trust in the Lord. But even then, we begin to make faith into this work, or if I just trust enough, then God will give me the victory that I can do it. The Lord's already done it. The Lord has fought your battles and given you the victory. And so he gives you this victory over what we really need to give us true peace. To give us the victory over sin and guilt and fear. And so we can go into the world with peace. We can go into the world and forgive others in a way that the world cannot fathom. We can go into the world and work and forgive brothers and sisters. We can know that the Lord is with us and he has won that battle for you already. Just like David, we can go after list of how God has delivered us. And when you do that, what should that make you? It should make you thankful and full of gratitude. And as I look at the struggles in the world and if it's the TV or the news or this struggle, the Lord has fought the battle that is the most important one. And he has given you the victory. And so he will continue to be with you through whatever struggle you have. But don't think he's going to give you a victory in one he hasn't promised. But he has promised and he will deliver you from all of those spiritual issues. Because he fought the battle for you. And that's such an encouraging thing for us, because when we think it's all about us, that I have to do it, well, it's already done. Your guilt removed. Your sins forgiven. And the door to heaven is open. Because the battle is the Lord's. He's fought the battle and given you the victory. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.